3. God is love, a positive hypothesis in everything. The point in which the mystery reveals itself to us as mercy is a man born of woman who shatters all the limited images and plans that we can form with our imagination. This is why when they saw him acting and speaking, they approved of him. This man is Jesus. Jesus' revelation that God is love, that God's nature is love, means that the aim of everything that exists is absolutely positive. It is certain that God cannot reduce to nothing even one good work, even one done by man. For if the nature of being is love, then even a single good action can defend whole lives. This is the strange dimension that the word mercy brought into the realm of the word forgiveness, as an answer that to us seems irrational or unjust, because it doesn't seem to have sufficient reasons. But the mystery surpasses our measure. It is based on the gap between what man is and his action, between the conceivable and the objective terms of his action. Only the mystery can span this disproportion. In Sigrid Undset's novel, Kristin Lavransdatter grasped this well. At the end of her life, this luminous positivity of life at its origin. And the last clear thought that formed in her brain was that she should die ere this mark had time to vanish. And she was glad. It seemed to her to be a mystery that she could not fathom. This is what we called irrational or unjust, but which she knew most surely nonetheless. That God had held her fast in a covenant made for her without her knowledge, by a love poured out upon her richly, and in despite of her self-will, in despite of her heavy earth-bound spirit, somewhat of this love had become part of her, had wrought in her. It is Peter's yes, like sunlight on the earth, had brought forth increase which not even the hottest flames of fleshly love, nor its wildest bursts of wrath could lay waste wholly. A handmaiden of God she had been, a wayward, unruly servant, oftenest an eye servant in her prayers, and faithless in her heart. Slothful and neglectful, impatient under correction, but little constant in her deeds. Yet had he held her fast in his service. The Book of Wisdom already reflected this positivity. God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living. For he created all things that they might exist, and the generative forces of the world are wholesome, and there is no destructive poison in them, and the dominion of Hades is not on earth, for righteousness is immortal. But ungodly men, by their words and deeds, summoned death. A total positivity in life must guide the soul of the Christian, in whatever situation it is, whatever remorse it might feel, whatever injustice it may feel weighing upon it, whatever darkness or enmity surrounds it, whatever death assails it, because God, who made all beings, is for the good. God is the positive hypothesis on all that man lives, even though this positivity seems at times to be overcome in us by the storms of life, almost as if leaving space for a capacity that man has for hostility, for hatred towards God's faithfulness. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may suck and be satisfied with her consoling breasts, that you may drink deeply with delight from the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, Behold, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall suck, you shall be carried upon her hip, and dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass. And Psalm 77 says, Our fathers went on sinning, and had no faith in his wonders. So he ended their days like a breath, and their years in sudden ruin. When he slew them then, they would seek him, return and seek him in earnest. They would remember that God was their rock, God the Most High their Redeemer. But the words they spoke were mere flattery. They lied to him with their lips, for their hearts were not truly with him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he who is full of compassion forgave their sin and spared them. So often he held back his anger, when he might have stirred up his rage. He remembered that they were only men, a breath that passes, never to return. One of the greatest, really diabolical sins that man can commit, for any reason at all, because of his sins, because he is unable to do the good that he desires, to repair the breaches made in the wall of his buildings by time and by circumstances, is to lose trust in God. God, as mercy, is victorious over everything. Certainly a Christian must accept this victory. To live love, there is no need to make a list of virtues and perfections. In spite of what you are, you must accept the plan of an other. You must be disposed to the will of God. This is man's vocation. Vocation is the star that shines in the dark night of circumstances. You give the Church of Christ to celebrate unutterable mysteries, in which our human misery of mortal creatures is exalted in an eternal relationship, and our existence in time begins to blossom in eternal life. So, following your loving plan, man passes from a mortal condition to a wondrous salvation. Gladness is the gift of the fatherland, while mercy is the peace of the journey. Come, Lord Jesus.